The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Unitarian Universalist ancestor, Ralph Waldo Emerson, proclaimed a new, unorthodox approach to spirituality and religion. He urged the new generation of ministers graduating from the Harvard Seminary not to look into a book or above to find divinity. He told them to look around and to look within. 2 years before, in his extended essay, Nature, he proclaimed, "The invariable mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the common." He proclaimed, in other words, that the miraculous was not supernatural, above nature. The miraculous was there in nature itself and in human nature for the eye and the mind's eye to see. And one profound takeaway from the Divinity School address is that when we fully experience the natural world, it uplifts us, it elevates us to a higher level of consciousness. It can even move us to sense the presence of a higher power in all that's around us, in even the smallest things. You heard a lovely expression of that experience in Willa Cather's poem that provided the lyrics for our prelude this morning, "I Sought the Wood in Summer." How many of you disagree with Emerson's claim that we can achieve spiritual enlightenment through mindful engagement with the natural world? Yeah, I didn't expect to see a lot of dissenters, not in this crowd, whether you camped overnight here or not, right? Okay. So I also expect that this morning's service, Small Things Considered, conceived and led by our own TPUF member, Kevin Dooley, will delight your senses and nourish your soul. I'm Jerry Lazaro. I chair the worship committee here at the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. And on behalf of the committee and the fellowship as a whole, I want to welcome you, whoever you are, from wherever you've come, wherever you may be on your spiritual journey, on your life's journey, whatever you must in conscience truly, responsibly believe, however you identify or express your gender, whomever you love, whoever loves you, know that you're welcome here and invited to worship with us this morning as we experience the wonder and the majesty of the created world. Our fellowship is a liberal faith community built upon principles and values, not upon creeds. So it encourages us to respect the spectrum of beliefs about the existence and identity of a higher power and how we can connect to that power. And it encourages us to seek revealed truths about human existence, the universe, and the nature of divinity from many sources, first and foremost from our own experience of the wonder and majesty of the created world. And now, as we do whenever we gather to worship, let's light our chalice. The chalice and the flame together form the symbol of our free faith. They signify, among many things, our openness to the wisdom of many ages and traditions, and our commitment to keep the light of truth, the torch of freedom, and the warmth of compassion burning within ourselves and throughout our world. And this morning we light our chalice with a poem by Mary Oliver, "When I Am Among the Trees." Her words testify to the power of the natural world to sustain and renew our spirit. And she reminds us not only of the light we carry within us, but also of our calling to share that light with others. The word discernment appears in this poem, and it's a word very rich in meaning. In the common sense, it refers to the ability to recognize small details, small things considered, right? Okay. In the religious sense, it refers to the ability to perceive openly without judgment in hope of receiving spiritual understanding and guidance. So the concept of discernment then figures very prominently in our service this morning. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness, I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. It's simple, they say. And you, too, have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. We also, each time we gather, light a lamp for peace. Lighting our peace lamp affirms our hope that someday, the words of philosopher George Santayana will no longer express a horrible truth. "Only the dead," Santayana wrote, "have seen the end of war." So the mortal conflict rages in Gaza, Ukraine, Syria, and elsewhere less frequently in our news headlines. Let's declare our fervent hope for a future blessed by a more peaceful and more life-affirming world. Gail has lit the peace lamp, so please participate by responding with the words on the screen. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world.
I think it's time we sang. Our gathering song this morning is hymn number 396, "I Know This Rose Will Open." Let's affirm our faith in spiritual tranquility and growth by joining the choir of the First Unitarian Church of Baltimore, Maryland, singing, "I Know This Rose Will Open." The words are in the video. And when we finish singing our gathering song, Manny McNeil will conduct this morning's moment for all ages.
right. I will be reading. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I will be reading Finding Wild by Megan Wagner Lloyd, and pictures are by Abigail Haplin. All right. What is wild and where can you find it? Wild is tiny and fragile and sweet baby new. It pushes through cracks and crannies and steals back forgotten places. Sometimes wild is so tricky, you have to squint to see it. And then there are times you can't possibly miss it. Wild creeps and crawls and slithers. It leaps and pounces and shows its teeth. Wild is full of smells, fresh mint, ancient cave, sun-baked desert, sharp pine, sea salt, every scent begging you to drink it in. Wild is forest fire hot and icicle cold. It's as smooth as the petals of poppies and as rough as the fierce face of a mountain. Watch out, wild can hurt, itch, burn, ouch, sting. But wild can also soothe, gentle breeze, cheering sun, soft rain. Wild keeps many secrets, waiting to be discovered, like its candy, honey from bees, sap from trees, swift melting snowflakes and juice bursting blackberries. Wild roars and barks and hisses and brays. It storm thunders and wind whispers. Wild sings. Sometimes wild is buried too deep and it seems like the whole world is clean and paved, ordered and tidy. You look and look, and all you can see are streets and cars and buildings so high they hide the sky. And then, just when you are about to give up, there it is again, old and worn and still standing strong. Wild. The end. Get your library card.
Thanks so much, Manny. Alrighty. So the world is a lot right now. It's loud, it's fast, and sometimes I feel like it's impossible to catch my breath. And there's always something pulling at my attention, something asking to be done, and something changing. And yet, in the midst of it all, nature is still out there, quietly doing its thing. The trees keep growing, the sun keeps rising, and the wind keeps moving through the grass. It reminds me that not everything is urgent, and some things just are. Yesterday, many of us gathered here for a camping event. We sat by a fire. We shared some soup, and we painted some lovely pictures that are over here on the wall, which you can check out after the service. And just for a little while, it was enough to remember that the world isn't only chaos, that there's trees and bugs and dirt, and that there's still places that we can go, both in the world and inside of ourselves, to pause, notice, and be reminded that change is slow, it's steady, and it's always happening. I've been thinking about change a lot lately because this year has been a year of weddings for me. I've officiated some, attended others, and found myself immersed in all of the planning and chaos and celebration that comes along with them. And through it all, I kept coming back to the same question. What does it mean to pay attention, to really notice the small things, the small moments that make up this big transition in my friends' lives. So today, I want to visit these three small personal moments from these weddings. And I want to look at them through the lens of transformation, specifically the cycle of the caterpillar, cocoon, and butterfly. Because most of the time, change doesn't hit us all at once. It moves slowly, quietly, sometimes in ways that we don't notice until later. But luckily, if we pause long enough, we can recognize it while it's still happening. As part of today's service, you will be invited to participate in a reflection around the room. We've set up three transformation stations inspired by the cycle of the butterfly. Each one has a prompt, a question that might help you notice what's moving in your life right now. For the caterpillar, what are you still learning or exploring? For the cocoon, what are you letting go of or resting in your life? And finally, the butterfly, what's taking flight in your life? As I share a few stories, each connected to these prompts and the weddings that I've attended, I've had the privilege of being a part of this year, I'll be placing my sticky notes at each of these stations, and you'll have a chance to do so later for your experiences. But for now, just listen, and maybe one of the stations will call to you. So, my caterpillar story. Early this June, I had the joy, and let's be honest, the challenge, of officiating a wedding for two close friends of mine that are in my punk band, Little Nick's Friend. And you'll be hearing if you stick around for the postlude, you'll be hearing one of our songs called Glamping Blues. So when we were planning their ceremony, I asked them, you know, what they wanted it to feel like, what images or symbols they thought were meaningful to them, and they kept coming back to trees. So we built a tree planting ritual into their service. And here's a little piece of what I shared during that part. In forests, something remarkable happens. When two trees grow side by side, their roots can reach out, touch, and even fuse together. Over time, they begin to share nutrients and hold the soil between them more firmly. Though they remain distinct, they're stronger because of their connection. The couple plan to plant this tree at their home on their one-year anniversary, a way to remember this day and the promises that they've made here. It takes roots in everyday moments, the small acts of care, patience, and steady growth that hold people together in every season. This experience, me working with them to create something meaningful and drawing from the natural world to reflect something true about relationships, was such a gift, and it reminded me that I'm still learning, still exploring, and still figuring out how to show up for others and how to grow in community. So this is my caterpillar story. Jake's wedding. My next one, my cocoon story. At the end of June, my wife, Alex, and I flew out to Seattle for another wedding. This time, thankfully, I was not officiating. Before the wedding, we spent a few days visiting the national parks. Next slide, please. We hiked through the rainforest, surrounded by massive trees with dripping mosses. It was quiet, damp, and green in a way that felt almost impossible. You can see here how small, you know, Alex is 6'3", and just her little tiny head is peeking out here with this massive tree. And this experience, something really shifted in me. It was the first time in a long time that I felt myself slow down, really slow down, and didn't just rush from place to place. We didn't try to see everything, and we were just there. And this photo of Alex next to this enormous ancient tree, the scale of it kind of cracked something open in me. I stopped trying to fix things, I let go of trying to be productive, and because of that, when the wedding day came, I didn't feel like I had to do anything. I didn't need to manage or plan or perform. I could just be there, present, resting in the joy of it. So that stillness, that release, is my cocoon moment. Steph's wedding. Finally, I have one more wedding story to share with you this year, and I'm going to take a moment to share with you a story from a bachelorette party, my first and possibly only one that I will ever attend. So we were at the beach late at night, standing at the edge of the ocean, and we kept going back and forth. Should we go in? You know, just put our feet in. I don't want to get wet. Maybe it's cold. And then one of us just went in. It was me. I don't remember deciding. I just let go and ran into the water. And once I did, everyone else followed, splashing, laughing, and just playing like little kids. And just the joy of being in the water together there under the stars. There was no plan, no script, just the rare kind of moment where everything feels simple and full. The salt water, rhythm of the waves, the sky stretched wide above us. We were there in community, celebrating a special time in the life of someone that we loved. That moment reminded me of how joy sometimes shows up when we stop hesitating. When we let go, when we let ourselves move without it needing to mean anything. That's my butterfly moment. Bridget's wedding. So, as we move into a time of reflection, we will hear a poem written by Jerry Lazzaro, a poem and a meditation from Anne Rostosky, and a reading of a poem from our own Ryan McNeil. As you listen, I invite you to begin thinking about what you might want to share at the transformation stations. After the poems, you will have your time to move around the room and add your own note. And while you do that, we will listen to Lake Water, a song written by our own David Perry. Let it accompany you as you reflect, write, or simply take in the moment. Turn it over to Jerry.
Thanks, Gil. I had a difficult time selecting poems to include in this morning's service because so much of what I write springs from my experiences of the natural world. And if that experience is to really be meaningful and worthwhile, it demands my full attention. Attention, first of all, to the details that make the experience unique, and then to the possible meanings of that experience. And sometimes the meaning, as I think Kevin so aptly talked about, is just being in that moment and taking it in so that you can relive that experience in memory later on. And that's the case in this poem I wrote several decades ago called Summer Evening After Rain. Summer evening after rain, such stillness after the storm, rain stays puddled on ivy leaves. Swallows careen beyond reach of a white birch, where a nameless bird whistles liquidly. A single black cricket warms tentatively to song, others counter. Somehow, a small air moves, or seems to, so small it could be a thin current scraped from the wings of a cricket, a tiny burst of breath from an unnamed bird, one shallow ripple stirred by a swallow as it skips across a placid pool of air. And sometimes the experience extends beyond specifics of time and place to connect with past experiences of myself and others, and to dissolve the boundary between thought and feeling. And in doing so, to uncover a universal truth hidden in the specifics of that experience. There's a reference in the last two stanzas of this poem to Heraclitus. You know Heraclitus, right? That's the philosopher who we associate with this platitude, the only thing permanent is change, right? And he never actually said that, but in fact, it's hard to figure out what he said because he spoke in what the later Greeks thought of as riddles. In fact, what led them to conclude that his idea was that anything permanent change actually came from this line, and I will read it for you. Potamoiasin, toiasin, autoiasin, embenoizin, hetera ke hetera udata epire. Does it sound like philosophy or poetry? It's poetry, and because that's how he wrote. That's why they called him the Riddler, in a way, right? Okay, and if I translate for you, you'll probably say it still sounds like Greek to me. on those stepping into rivers staying the same and other waters flow. I think I understand what he was getting at, and I expressed that in the last two stanzas of the poem, so be ready for it. It's called Cascade Along Bossard Trail. 500 miles and 300 million years from the latest sea, Mill Run scrubs ripple marks frozen in time from sheets of rock below a wooden footbridge. Still leafless trees let a full complement of early April sun drop to the valley floor. Sky flows in currents sloshing over stone terraces, churning below ledges. Often I follow this stream when winter ice or fall leaves syncopate its rhythms, or when water striders ride surface tension to calmer summer pools. I've crossed, recrossed this bridge with wives, children, parents, sisters, friends, lovers. Alone, I've watched darkness fill this hollow, breathed its dank aura as evening's chill seeped deep into the bone. This morning, I step down to the stream, slip my hand into its icy flow. Yes, Heraclitus, elusive oracle of sorrows and riddles, these waters weaving light through oak and maple, through birch, beech, and hemlock, these waters becoming lake, river, and sea, are what they are as I am, because they are always and in all ways moving, always transforming, always transformed, always, never twice precisely the same.
Short people, sorry. Had to pull the stool out. Good morning, I'm Ann Rostosky, and I'd like to start off with a meditation. I will read the poem second because we just had some. And I'll warn you in advance, this is 4 minutes long. So those of you who aren't meditators, hopefully you don't have trouble with it, but it is a guided meditation, so it won't be just silent, okay? And we've talked a lot about trees. Now we're going to be a tree. This meditation is designed to help you get in touch with the oneness of nature and to assist you in finding personal stability, harmony, and balance. Close your eyes and take 3 deep, relaxing breaths right into the core of your belly and exhale them gently through the entire cells of your body. Watch your belly expand as you breathe in and your body open and relax as you breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Notice the sounds of nature around you, peaceful, inviting. Visualize a magnificent tree before you. Hear it whisper something to you as you approach it. Feel the texture and smell the fragrance of the tree. Now, with one deep, relaxing breath, allow yourself to merge into the center of the majestic tree, and in your imagination, rise to enable your body to gracefully fill the trunk of the tree. Feel your feet, legs, and the base of your spine sinking deep, deep, deep into Mother Earth, down, down into the moist, dark ground to become one strong and stable taproot. Watch as your feet and legs branch out to create a far-reaching labyrinth of finer roots. Your head stretches and expands to occupy a dynamic space amongst the foliage. and you feel a whole new level of perfect clarity and acute perception. Your hands and arms rise as they transform into many strong and intricate branches. Watch as vibrant leaves sprout on your network of branches and twigs reaching into the sky. Sublime cosmic forces and information enter your being. Become aware that you are a conduit of light, absorbing sunlight and starlight. As you anchor this light into the ground, know that you are literally anchoring heaven on earth. Stretch your entire being luxuriously and fully inhabit your new identity as a dignified tree. Feel your perfect balance, stability, and harmony. Be flexible like the tree in the wind. Observe how it feels to stand strong, yet supple like the tree. Now experience the life within and around you. Notice what is occurring throughout your entire system. Begin at the tips of your roots and work up to your trunk and then into your branches, twigs, and leaves. Feel your essence and presence. Tune into the interplay of all your aspects and to your connectedness within yourself and the world around you. Become aware of other trees and how you communicate with them. You are a reservoir of wisdom and have many lessons to teach and stories to tell. Each tree ring is a year's storehouse of growth with every full cycle of the sun. Tap into the knowledge archived in each of your rings. What do you teach of the changing of the seasons, of the gifts of abundance, of giving and receiving, sheltering, patience, beauty, freedom, mystery, and generosity to visitors over the years of your life? Observe all the life forms that you shelter and nourish, birds, bugs, bees, butterflies, and other insects and wildlife. Listen to the harmonious sounds of life within and around you. Feel the spirit of your tree. Tune into tree consciousness. Identify the feeling. How long has your tree resided here? What is it capable of? What does it know? Listen deeply within. There is profound ancient wisdom in this tree. It has a personal message for you. What does it want you to know? Take some time to fully absorb this message. Now thank the tree for all its gifts. When you are ready, slowly withdraw your consciousness back from every part of the tree. Draw yourself out of the roots. Come back up from the ground and back from the branches, leaves, and trunk. Allow the tree to send you safely back into your body, back home to yourself. Return fully and totally into your body. Breathe naturally and begin to move. Notice the sounds around you and become aware of your breathing. Recall your personal message from the tree and reflect upon it. Open your eyes and gently complete your meditation. And now I will share a poem written by Mary Oliver, the second one for today. Obviously, she's a popular nature poet. This one is called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one and wild precious life? Sorry, gets me. Thank you. And now Ryan.
Thanks so much for sharing.
Thanks so much for sharing, Anne and Jerry. I love all the poetry, you know, that we got today with the Nature Service. We do have one last poem to share that I'll be reading. So this is Ryan McNeil, Untitled. Sitting around a fire, watching time grow old. Listen to all the stories, for stories are worth more than gold. Look for constellations, like sailors of long ago. Voyage through the dreamscape, and who knows where you may go. Now, fellow caterpillars, cocoons, and butterflies, please rise if you wish and share what's been moving you. This is the interactive part.
I've gone boating on rivers, but they flow too fast for me. And boating on the ocean, I feel lost at sea. But I love to float in my little in water from my head capsized in water so cold I nearly froze. H2O of all the kinds I know.
Thanks so much, everyone. Let's just take a few moments to come back into the room. Thanks, everyone, for sharing your, you know, what's been moving you. And I hope that maybe you could be motivated by what everybody else has been moved by as well. So what we just did, pausing, reflecting, and taking a moment to just make a small note and place it into the world, is the kind of thing that happens all the time in nature. Seeds are dropped, wings unfold, trees let go of what they no longer need. It's quiet work, but it matters. And it reminds us that we're not separate from the natural world, we're part of it. We grow and rest and emerge in our own time, just like everything else. Now, I'd like to invite Alex Dooley, a member of our care team, to lead us in matters of the heart.
Good morning, everyone. Each Sunday, we set apart a special time for a special ritual, an action that speaks to a larger truth. The truth is that you are important, that your life matters, and that this community cares about you. Yes, even you who don't know anyone here. That is the deeper truth which we witness by inviting anyone who has a heavy heart or a joyous heart to share. If you have something which overflows that you want to share, please step up to the mic, share your name, and let us know what it is. If you are online, you can raise your physical or virtual hand and Mike will unmute you.
Are here, we can bring this time of sharing to a close, and as we often do, we will sing Spirit of Life. The words will be up here on the screen, and this week will be performed by our very own Christine Perry virtually through the magic of recording.
I have yet another poem, and I've just been sitting here thinking about, it's interesting how poetry seems like the only way we can capture everything going on out there, you know? There's a reason that that's what we're all doing up here is poetry, and I just think that's pretty cool. So I have The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be. I go and lay down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Hard to add much to what's been said in this service. You know, reminds me, I had the privilege of leading a service on Mary Oliver once and on Wendell Berry before that. So, yeah. In an essay titled Winter Hours, Mary Oliver confesses, quote, "I could not be a poet without the natural world. Someone else could, but not me. For me, the door to the woods is the door to the temple." And I think we've kind of captured that sentiment in our service today in the words of the poets and of Kevin and others even who have spoken during our Matters of the Heart, you know, namely that there's a path to spiritual development open to all of us through the portal of the natural world. And we would all do well to follow the three instructions that Mary Oliver gave us for living a full life. One, pay attention. Two, be astonished. Three, tell about it. I think that's what we've done this morning. I really appreciate it. Okay. So I'm going to extinguish our chalice, but of course not its light, which we carry with us into the world to share with those whose lives we touch and whose lives touch our own. And our closing song this morning is 'Tis a Gift to Be Simple. So please join soloists from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Shelter Rock and sing this wonderful Shaker hymn.
"'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where we are to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, city is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed, to turn will be our delight, till by turning we come round right."
I've been remembering about my first time way better than the last. Now my first time didn't bring the right protection. Ended up in a sticky situation. We were way up a mountain. Second time, made a bed in the snow, lit a fire to stay warm, got a little too warm, burned my sock a little, best night of sleep I ever had. Now the next time, had a rock in my shoe, been there for 2 miles. At least it wasn't a snake that was in the other one. Foot still ain't healed though, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Glamping ain't the way to go camping.
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 Camping's meant to be about misery. Having no fun is the way to be.
Now the last time, we went car camping. Brought everything we needed, and it wasn't no fun. We didn't do too much, and don't remember it anyway. Maybe this next time, instead of going to Christmas, we climb a mountain, and leave half our shit behind. Maybe we don't come back, but if we do, it'll be a good story.